And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and...
Alex the Intern.
Alex the Intern. Today, we're going to do something that we actually haven't done in a long time.
In a very long time.
Yeah, it's a topic show.
Mm-hmm.
The topic is...
The topic is, what do we as the general public deem as coming out?
For
celebrities.
For celebrities. Because
there's some disagreement about who has and who hasn't come out officially.
Right.
Particularly with Jodie Foster. I think this is how this conversation even started.
No, this conversation started when Sean Hayes was on the cover of The Advocate and finally
came out.
Right.
But before then, he had not.
Right.
It's not a surprise to anyone.
In 1998, Will and Grace goes on the air, and mm-hmm. everybody's asking, okay, you know, obviously Sean Hayes is gay. Is he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he? And he said in an interview, no, you know, it's really better off, and I feel I can get more roles if people know less about my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way he put it. I looked up that interview.
Okay.
That was just about the way that he put it. And he was... what he wanted was, you know, leave me alone about my personal life, which I understand.
I understand, and...
Now, the other part of the topic that we had was what is considered coming out.
What's
for
considered coming out.
But the other thing that we were talking about after that show a few weeks ago when we first came up with this was, do celebrities have an obligation to come out? Are celebrities better off or worse off
mm-hmm.
if they do come out? And I know we're going to get to all those types of things because they're all related to it. But Sean Hayes came out a couple of weeks ago in a cover story in The Advocate, and his coming out wasn't a surprise for years. You know, everybody knew. And it's been 4 years since the show's gone off the air. He still hasn't acknowledged anything. He has worked regularly.
He has.
But he hasn't gotten particular roles. Right now he's on Broadway. He's going to be in, I forgot what it is that he's in.
I forgot also.
He's done other things. He's done some cable work. He's done a number of other
But no
other
leading
things.
Roles.
Right. But he has worked regularly since that show has gone off the air. He possibly hasn't gotten the roles that he's wanted. So his not coming out hasn't helped him.
Right.
When Will and Grace went off the air, he did not get this big leading role that he could point to say, you know, if I had not come out, I might have gotten that one. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So his not coming out hasn't helped him. His coming out got him on the cover of a magazine that he never would have been on. So in that case, it's actually helped him. He's now on Broadway. He's doing some other things. And he's back in the news. So, what is considered coming out for celebrities? Did anybody have any question that Sean Hayes was gay?
Well, here's the thing. What if, you know, what if in fact he came out and said that he wasn't gay?
Oh, that would have been news too.
Exactly.
That would have been bigger news.
Exactly. That would have been bigger news. So, unless you know him personally mm-hmm. and you're a part of his circle, you're his neighbor, or you're in the industry and you know, the general public didn't know. Yeah, it was, you know, it was speculated, and we thought for sure because our gaydars have gone off or whatever, but you are never 100% for sure.
I disagree with that. I think in his case, most people who don't follow it closely, they're not talking about it on their radio shows every week. You know, people like... Well, Alex, until you were with us, you didn't have a radio show every week, so you weren't talking about those kinds of things every week. I think most people who watched the show just, you know, because it was a show that appealed to just average America. It was one of the most popular shows on the air for the 8 years it was on. I think most people thought, well, of course he's gay.
Exactly.
So, I think most people were more surprised that he, if they were to be told that he hadn't come out.
Exactly my point. You're assuming. Everybody assumes.
Yeah,
but what if, in fact, he did come out and say, I am straight?
Well, I mean, it's an issue in our community, I think, when we observe celebrities of any ilk. I mean, whether it's the arts and music and television, film, or politicians, or athletes or whatever, mm-hmm. and you know, we get frustrated with them when they get ambiguous or they
right.
feel like they've lied, and we think that they are gay, but they're not saying so. But we don't know.
We don't know for sure. But again,
look at the backlash on Rosie O'Donnell. When she came out in a big way. She came out like on a
it was 2020. Yeah.
I mean, it was a big
deal. It was a big deal.
It was a primetime interview, practically a whole hour, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about adoption in Florida. Mm-hmm. There's a specific ban in Florida against adopting. And she took up the cause of this gay couple who had adopted a lot of kids who were basically rejected.
Who were HIV positive and mm-hmm. completely rejected from the adoption pool.
Right. And rather than be adopted by this gay couple where it was the only home they've ever known, the state of Florida was trying to say, you're gay, you can't adopt, therefore we're going to put them in a foster home or a group home. And she rose to the occasion and said, yeah, I'm gay and I've got kids and I have a partner.
And this is the face of a gay family. I'll never forget mm-hmm. how she put it.
And she was that was at her peak,
mm-hmm.
really at her peak. And there were people not only in the U.S., but all across North America and Canada and elsewhere who knew Rosie O'Donnell, knew who she was, enjoyed her show, was a fan. And she came out and we got pissed. I mean, a lot of people in our community said, well, this is a group, you know, well, finally, why didn't you come out 10 years ago or 5 years ago? And I mean, we're a fickle group, I think.
In a way, yes. In a way, no. Everybody that we're going to talk about today has come out in a different way.
Different way and different results.
But the best person to compare her to would be Ellen. Rosie was known as the Queen of Nice on her show.
Not so much now.
But all of a sudden, she wasn't so nice. And it wasn't about her being a lesbian that wasn't nice. I mean, she was a mom. She had a partner for years. You know, there were lots of things about her that could have made her more nice. And she wasn't. She was angry, and she had a right to be. We were all angry about that adoption case. That was a case that was just disgusting.
It was egregious. It was, I mean, any common sense person would say, these kids need to stay in their family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But there were other things after that.
It was the Iraq War. It was George W. Bush in office. You get pissed
and
about
yes,
a lot of stuff.
Yes, there were lots of things to get pissed about. But her public persona, not because she was a lesbian, her public persona just changed. Ellen's the opposite. She came out. She became nicer.
She dances.
Wouldn't you say that since she's had her talk show, she's been nicer.
I think Ellen's always been kind of perceived and looked at as a very, very just a genuinely nice person.
Well, and one of the standards that she holds when her comedy, and that's how she got started with stand-up, is that she never uses swear words.
It's squeaky clean.
It is squeaky clean. She never uses swear words. She never uses bodily function.
No, she doesn't.
You know,
I mean,
all that kind of stuff. She doesn't use that.
No, so I don't think that really changed. I think what perhaps change, especially with her talk show, is that people have gotten comfortable with a nice lesbian.
I think another thing changed.
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
No, I think another thing changed because of the tone and the position of her sitcom, the one where in the fifth season she came out.
Mm-hmm.
That show lasted 5 years, but it was never a top 20 show. That's not true. It occasionally broke into the top 20, and especially the puppy episode, the one where she came out, had very high ratings, highest rated show of the week. And
I went to a puppy episode party. Yeah, and there were probably 50 people there.
I did too.
That episode, very high rated. But the show itself floundered, but it did just well enough to keep getting renewed. They changed the cast originally. You know,
Kathy Griffin was part of it.
No. Kathy Griffin was Brooke Shields' show. Yeah, but
yeah, she wasn't on Ellen.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm sorry.
But the cast through the 5 years kept changing. Jeremy Piven was on, but he wasn't in the original cast. There was somebody else in that role. The best friends that
I'm thinking of
changed.
The other little redhead, squeaky voice girl.
Oh, yeah.
That's who I got confused with, Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
Chloe.
Name.
Something. system.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Always ripping.
But the cast kept it. So the show, you know, wasn't doing that. And Ellen had to be, or her representatives, had to be a tough negotiator with Disney, that was the producer, to keep her salary up, to do it. And so, you know, how does the studio counter that? They portray her as not being such a nice person. Once she got her own talk show, that's her being herself. And you know, and her own personality could come out.
And people love her.
Yeah,
and people love her.
I mean, yeah. Well, she's very straightforward.
Well, let's go back to the original topic. What deems coming out for a celebrity, for us, for the general public?
So when Ellen was on the front page of Time magazine and the headline was "Yup, I'm gay," would we all kind of agree?
Yeah,
there that counts as coming
that,
out.
Yeah, I think so.
But when we first brought this up on a previous show. About this, do people have to say those words, very words, to make it absolutely clear?
Well,
do they? Clear?
Well, I not necessarily those words, but you need to acknowledge somehow that your other half is someone of the same gender, or that you prefer your other half. If you're single, you prefer somebody to be of the same gender. I mean, you know, of course, you know, I think we started talking about this with Jodie Foster, mm-hmm. you know, which has become, you know, this famous, she outed herself now because she accepted an award and she thanked her assumed partner. Well, actually, they're supposedly broken up now. What's her name?
Sydney Bernard.
Sydney. She, you know, said, you know, my dear Sydney. To me, that is the least of evidence or an admission or declaration of someone's sexual orientation.
Well, let's go back to this, though, because there are a lot of things, and Jodie Foster's an odd case, I admit, very, very odd in terms of this topic, because she's really an enigma. Mm-hmm. There's probably only one person that even approaches her level of privacy mm-hmm. in Hollywood, and that's Michelle Pfeiffer. I mean, Jodie Foster's been known to walk off the Today Show.
If you ask
two topics she didn't want to talk about for a long time, and she was in the national spotlight, she was, remember, Hinckley shot
exactly
Reagan over Jodie Foster, mm-hmm. and she refused to do any interviews where his name was mentioned because she felt like that was perpetuating what he wanted. He wanted to be famous. He wanted, like, it's just feeding what he wanted. And so she refused to do that. And she's very, very, very private.
I mean, she is, but I still think we can talk about this one instance. Would you say that's a declaration of one sexual orientation by that one speech?
I thought it was, and here's why. Because about a year or two before that, she had made a huge donation to there's a film academy facility for older retired actors, and she put up the money for an aquatic pavilion, which has pools and saunas and all kinds of stuff where older actors, as they're retired and get in poor health, can go there and exercise and all of that. Anyway, it's the Jodie Foster Aquatic Pavilion. And she had her kids, her two boys, who, you know, she's never named the father, do a handprint, and they've got that up on the wall mm-hmm. as part of the display. And their middle names are listed there, their full names, and it's Bernard Foster.
So they have hyphenated last names.
No, they don't. They're hyphenated. Their middle names.
Their middle names. Okay.
Which is Bernard's last name.
Gotcha.
And they've been raising these kids together, and they've been photographed all over. And of course, in Europe, it's open secret that, I mean, they openly talk about it. You know, here's a photo of Jodie Foster leaving somewhere with her partner,
yeah.
Sydney Bernard. Blah blah blah.
Okay.
I'll
give you that. But you also know apparently a lot about Jodie Foster.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Your average fan
she's
may
my
not.
My age. I mean, I've grown up watching her.
Your average fan may not know all of that. And if they were sitting in an audience and just heard that, I don't think necessarily it would go off. Oh, she's talking about her partner. I could go and accept an award. I don't know, some radio award. And I could say, I want to thank my dear David. And that would be totally appropriate. David's not my partner.
I can't picture you saying that.
Oh, Patty.
But I'm just being honest. I just can't see it.
You get my point, though.
Yeah, we get your point. Move on.
If there's someone else that's kind of been, you know, whose sexual orientation has been in question, and Barbara Walters just recently spoke about she regrets asking a question, that's Ricky Martin. He's never declared it. He's never not declared it. He just won't answer. And a lot of people took that as a declaration.
That he is?
That he is, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everybody I have spoken to thinks that Ricky Martin is gay because he wouldn't answer her question.
Okay, do you want the actual answer as to whether or not he is? Because I dated somebody from Menudo for a while.
There you go. So,
Not him. So one of the other members of the group who.
All right. So is that a declaration by not answering? Same. He pretty much did the same thing that Sean Hayes did. Sean Hayes would answer either way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the same with Johnny Weir.
Exactly. He won't answer. Are those declarations? I say no.
That they need to say the words.
They need to say, not necessarily the words, but they need to say somehow that I prefer someone of the same gender or I am with someone of the same gender. Just like Lily Tomlin did. I don't think Lily Tomlin has ever used the words, I am a lesbian.
She did.
Did she?
Yeah. And we can talk about this a little bit more. We have a minute, but after the break. Lily Tomlin officially came out in 2001 in an interview. In that interview, she said to the person interviewing her, I was never secretive, but I never held a press conference. And that's very accurate. She met Jane Wagner, her partner, in 1971. Mm-hmm. And the two have been working partners, and I guess they hid behind the working partner aspect of their relationship as much as anything. But they met in 71. They co-wrote her Broadway, and then it was filmed, show In Search of Signs of Intelligent Life. They've partnered on just about everything that Lily has done, even when Lily was involved in a number of films. Jane had some role in the films very often. They've had a working relationship, but as well as being wife and wife, which they have been. In 1995, and I guess this is ironic, she was one of the narrators of The Celluloid Closet, which was a documentary about
The history of gays in film,
mm-hmm. and how they've been in the closet. And at that point, she hadn't been out, but she certainly, I mean, everybody knew. It was not a secret.
Everybody
around her, everybody who hired her for anything. I don't think for The Celluloid Closet they would have purposely hired somebody in The Celluloid Closet.
That's not true. Tom Hanks is one of the narrators of Celluloid Closet.
But he's not in the closet. He's not gay.
That's my point.
No, I'm saying I don't think they would have hired somebody that they knew was closeted. I think they hired her because they knew she wasn't in the closet.
See, they probably would hire anybody who was gay friendly, didn't mind talking about the subject.
Hmm. See, I'm with Ron on this.
I don't take that as, oh, well, we know she's a lesbian, so we're going to hire her for this documentary. Whoopi Goldberg's one of the narrators of that. She's not lesbian either.
No, I understand she's not lesbian. No, I'm not saying that they wouldn't have hired straight people. I think they hired a number of straight people who were gay-friendly. Tom Hanks, because he had just come out of his performance in Philadelphia, not just, but...
Right.
But it had been recent. And, of course, they hired people who were gay-friendly, not just gay-friendly, but gay-positive, had mm-hmm. good gay roles already. I think when they hired her, they figured this was maybe part of her coming out to the public.
See, I disagree with you. When Wanda Sykes came out, after she came out, I saw an interview with her, like on Leno or someplace, and she was saying that it's everybody that she's worked with in the immediate circles and extended circles in Hollywood and around in that business knew she was gay and knew she had a wife. Mm-hmm. She married a partner. But to the public didn't know.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 HD1 in Dallas. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Are you having a hard time selling that old car or truck? Maybe you don't want the hassle of selling it, or you've just hung on to it for too long. That's what the KNON Vehicle Donation Program is for. Call 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at knon.org. The tow truck comes to your home and picks up the vehicle. They give you the paperwork that you'll need and relieve the stress of what to do with the old car that just won't sell. Your donation goes to support the great programming here on KNON. The number to call is 877-KNON-AUTO or online at knon.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet. I'm here with Patty Fink and Laurent Landis and Alex the intern. And we're talking today about what's considered coming out for celebrities. You know, most of us come out and it just means coming out to our families and a few
friends and sometimes, you know, even coworkers.
And then there's that annoying, oh, you have to have a new job, have to come out. Oh, I have a new, I'm moving to a new blah, 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 and have to come out. Oh, I have this new whatever. But for a celebrity, it sometimes means a press conference. Or does it? Does it mean something
else? Let's talk
else?
About that. Yeah. You know the tennis star Amélie Mauresmo from France? She'd been playing professional tennis for many, many years, and she called a press conference to announce that she was gay, and the press just kind of went, you called us here for this?
And sometimes they have a press conference to announce that you're not gay. Seriously, I don't know if y'all remember this, but it was in the 90s, and I was really surprised about this. Oprah Winfrey wasn't there herself, but she had her attorneys. They had a press conference to kind of dispel the rumors that she was a lesbian.
Her Gale rumors.
Yes, exactly.
Her BFF Gale.
Yeah, and I'm like, you held a press conference for that? Again, she wasn't present, but her attorneys did. So, yeah, I was really surprised about that.
But part of it is also, do celebrities have the obligation to come out? And also, are they better off or worse off if they do come out? Somebody like Rock Hudson, would he have been better off or not if he came out?
He would have been worse off.
Yeah.
Easily. Especially back then. If he had come out.
He died in the 80s. I mean, his career was well before then.
Well before then. And let's say he came out before he became the man's man of Hollywood. You know, women swooned over this man. Do you really think he would have gotten all those roles?
Okay. Now, let's compare him to one who did come out. At the same time, his contemporary was Tab Hunter. Now, Tab Hunter, you know, with these ridiculous names, Rock Hudson, Tab Hunter, they made up these silly names in the 50s for actors and, you know, leading man actors. And Tab Hunter was in some of the beach movies, and he did come out. He's had a career, certainly not the career that Rock Hudson had, but he's had a career. When he came out, he was offered, you know, all of a sudden the leading man roles ended. But they offered him some things, and he's always taken them. He had his own TV show. It lasted only one season. He was picked up after that for another sitcom. That only lasted one season. But he took the work that was available, and I'm getting to this to compare him to Rupert Everett, who just whines. His career had a revival in John Waters movies. He was in Hairspray and Polyester and a couple of other movies with John Waters. So he's had a career, and he's lived with a partner. He's had a partner now for, 30 years, something like that. Would you say his career suffered, or do you think he just maybe partially just wasn't the leading man that Rock Hudson was?
Maybe a little bit of both. Yeah.
I think it's more the latter, but...
Yeah. Those
are days when, honestly, so many people got typecast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Annette Funicello. I mean, come on. You know, she has one thing as a Mouseketeer, and then what kind of movies did she do? She didn't do any serious drama. You know, I mean, I just think it was a face of the times. You know,
yeah.
Tab Hunter did beach movies. Come on. I mean, he's not going to get a leading role because people don't see Tab Hunter as this serious actor.
And that is part of it. But let's go ahead and jump on briefly Rupert Everett. And, he is one.
Well, I don't want to jump on him.
Actually, I don't either, believe it or not.
The controversy with Rupert Everett started right after he did My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. And it was a big box office success, and he thought he should get more bucks for the films that he did after that, particularly the film that he did with Madonna. I forgot the name of it, but and he didn't get the money that
he thought he was worth.
And subsequently, he just didn't really get many roles after that, leading roles, and he chalks it up to the fact that he came out. He said it hurt his career.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe it? Agree with him?
I think he's made his own bed. I honestly do. I think he's whined to the extent that nobody really wants to try to give him a chance.
You know, we looked up his list of what he's been in.
Been a lot of movies.
He really has worked steadily.
He works, but it's not the movies. I don't think they're the roles he wanted.
You know, and isn't that interesting? We were talking a little bit before the show about what makes an A actor, and, you know,
of course,
Kathy Griffin is on the D list. And that probably really
she's
is.
Moved up to C.
I think she's C. I really do think she's
C. I agree.
She's C.
As
a celebrity, not as an actress. But, you know, we were talking about what makes A-list. Just because you get $1 million salary doesn't necessarily make you an A-list actor.
No, that's.
The number of actors who are up there in the A-list is 1/100% of all actors. There are that many actors out there. Rupert Everett complaining about not getting the roles that he wants. You know, during this recession, everybody's been complaining who's been out of work about how hard it is to find a job. That normally you advertise a job and you get 5 good applicants, maybe 10 good applicants. And right now there are 500 people applying for a job. In Hollywood, that's the way it always is.
Always.
And if you're just up against 100 other actors, I have a real good chance of getting this. So, you know, and I know that's the way in Dallas, that's the way it's been. You know, people have said to me, because I've done a whole bunch of these little acting roles, you know, how have you gotten all these little roles? And it's because
they were desperate.
In a way, yes, because I'm in Dallas. I'm playing the little roles. You know, most people who were my age who are doing acting, either they got it out of their system when they were 20 and realized they weren't going anywhere with it, and by the time they're in their 30s, they're on to a real career, or by the time they're in their 50s, they're getting bigger roles. I do it for fun. And so when I'm doing this, it's like, yeah, I want to play the 50-year-old whatever who has the one line and, you know, and just has fun. And I'm on the set for 2 days and that's the end of it. I'm not up against a whole lot of other people.
Well, you know, I understand that. And I understand that, you know, Rupert Everett is the whiny queen. And I actually agree with that. But I do also agree with him that coming out has hurt a lot of people's career. And unfortunately, I mean, we're talking about A-list celebrities. You're right, that is a small group. But are any of them, can we think of any of them, or let's say A-list actors anyway, that are openly gay?
Who came out?
And I think
Jodie Foster.
By whose category?
Right.
Yeah. And so, again, I think I'm not going to condemn Rupert Everett or Sean Hayes for wanting to at least reach that goal. And them, in their opinions, since they've come out, or since he's come out, it's hurt his career.
Now, in making the list, we actually all came up with more TV celebrities than film celebrities. I'm not sure why that is. I don't know if it's
Let's flip to music.
That's a whole different ballgame. Well, go ahead.
I mean, there are a lot of, you know, pick a walk of life. Mm-hmm. We have celebrities in every one of them. And in music, I think, Katie Lang had been out for quite some time. And then when Melissa Etheridge came out during the inaugural evening mm-hmm. of Clinton's first term, you know, she came out.
Mm-hmm.
And she boomed after that.
She boomed.
I mean, she won Grammys, she, you know, and all this, you know.
And record sales.
Yeah, is there such a thing as an A-list recording artist?
Not in
the same way.
But well, if there is, she jumped up to it.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She
jumped up to it. Yeah.
You know, the top line ticket prices.
In making
the Who or the Rolling Stones.
In making my list, I found a lot more lesbian singers than gay male singers.
Exactly. I can only think of
one
so-called A-list openly gay male singer.
Elton John. Yeah. But then right behind him would be Rufus Wainwright. He's in that category. He's close to that category. George Michael, close to that category. Freddie Mercury would have been close to that category.
Oh, I think Freddie Mercury would be up there with Elton John. Elton John is a talent all his own. I mean, he's crossed over into Broadway.
Yeah, I would agree with George Michael. I would not agree with Rufus Wainwright.
Okay, but Freddie Mercury, Pet Shop Boys. Mm-hmm. Another one who would be up there, generation earlier, completely out as far as you could be out at that time, Cole Porter. Mm-hmm. He was completely out.
How about Liberace?
Liberace was completely not out.
I was about to say.
But come on.
Liberace, I mean, yeah, come on. But okay. Still, he wasn't out, though.
Okay.
That's true.
He wasn't out.
He was Sean Hayes.
He was.
Exactly.
He was Sean Hayes. You're right.
Little Richard's another one.
Little Richard's another one.
Boy George.
Absolutely. Boy George. Yeah. And it has always been out.
Right. However, women, my list was twice as long.
Oh, absolutely.
Amy Ray and Emily Sanders from the Indigo Girls.
Sellers.
Nellie Furtado, who's by Janis Ian, Janis Joplin, Joan Jett, Dusty Springfield, Holly Near.
Baez is by.
And then going back another generation, Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith. You know, there have been,
I think,
but there's a lot more women.
It's the same thing with actresses, too, actresses or musicians. I think that's just basically art imitating life. For whatever reason, which is a whole other show, lesbians, I think, are more accepted than gay men are.
Well, that's why, in
the general public.
That's why Kate Clinton has that whole riff she does about the stealth lesbians. People don't even see us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's... You know, they make decisions about this stuff and you know, laws and that sort of thing. And when people do that, they're picturing two men together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
And they act on that, on their reaction to that. They don't think about two women.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, and so you look through this stuff and go, you know, how does that affect us?
And then, of course, you can go with the heterosexual male stereotype and that, oh, they don't mind lesbians because there's two women together and that's hot. You know,
which is a whole other show.
But yeah, I think that doesn't surprise me that there are more openly open lesbians than there are openly gay men.
And going back to actors, which is how this started. Probably the highest profile coming out last year was Neil Patrick Harris. Now, again, more TV than movies. Neil Patrick Harris was an interesting case. After coming out, they had him do the Tonys. He was such a hit on the Tonys and made no bones about his having come out and, you know, made a joke about it and just handled it as perfectly as anybody could.
Mm-hmm.
So they hired him for the Emmys. Did so well on the Emmys. Now, the Oscars isn't going to hire the person who did the Emmys because the Oscars has this thing that we're just so much better than everybody else.
Well, they think they're so special.
Yeah, exactly.
They really needed Neil Patrick Harris.
Well, I mean, and they really used did. Him,
oh,
and they had him open the show.
They did.
And the hit part of this year's Academy Awards, the only part that was even mentioned as being good, was the piece that Neil Patrick Harris did.
And, you know, and that's one
and
of those.
The piece that Tom Hanks did at the end where he just walked out and he said, the winner for Best Picture.
That was a great moment. That was a good moment.
Right.
And that's one of those great success stories that's unfortunately few and far between.
But all success stories in Hollywood are few and far between. When I say there are 500 actors auditioning for every role, you know, within the next 5 years, 495 of those 500 are not going to be in that profession anymore.
Good point. However, if you've already kind of made somewhat, even a small name for yourself in Hollywood, whether it be TV or film, and then that changes overnight after your sexual orientation, your true sexual orientation has been revealed, then yeah, you can kind of chalk it up to that.
You know, the best example of that is after Ellen came out, her show was canceled, and, you know, partially it was because the show had run its course. It had already been on for 5 years. But Laura Dern, who played the girlfriend, who is straight,
mm-hmm.
couldn't get an acting job for 3 or 4 years after that.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And here's another example. Neil Patrick Harris, of course, that's a great example. Flip side, the year before that, T.R. Knight came out. Kept his role as a heterosexual character. Once it ran its course, I haven't heard or seen anything with T.R. Knight in it since.
And that's one to come back to in a year or two. It's not that unusual when somebody is rolling off of a television show where they're so identified with one role that they don't get anything for a while. And the other thing is, if it's film that he's going to be in, he might have done something this year that you're not going to hear about for another year.
True.
So we'll see about that.
I was going to say, you know, we spent a lot of time on the arts and sort of Hollywood-ish. But, you know, let's look at sports.
Oh, yeah.
In sports, there are very, very few men who are out in any...
Well, and more importantly, no male has come out as openly gay while participating in a professional sport.
Yes.
Not a true. Single one.
He had Billy Bean in baseball. He came out after. After. He left. Actually,
do you know what Billy Bean is known for? He has a record. 4 hits the first game that he ever played professionally.
Hmm. I'm shocked that he knows anything about
it. You know, David, he shocked me last week.
Do you know what sport
it is? Yes, that would be baseball. LaRon, you have an entertainment report, don't you?
I do.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Alrighty, the play Corpus Christi, which portrays Jesus Christ as gay, is raising ruckus again, and this time here in Texas. The performance of the play the performance of the play was set to debut down in Stephenville at Tarleton State University this weekend, but the production was canceled amid what school officials say are safety and security concerns.
And I just want to interrupt you right there. I even got a threat that I forwarded to the administration.
Oh, really?
About the play. Yeah, those threats were serious, and the reason that I got it at The Voice, we've been reporting on it. We were the only friendly press that they got, the threats were serious.
And you know, if you've never heard of this play, it's been around for a while. Debuted in 1998 in New York. Critics say it's blasphemous, and the student who's directing this production says that he chose it to help gay the youths who are who may be struggling with their faith.
And he said that the theme is tolerance.
The theme
of the play basically is tolerance. Mm-hmm. You know, here's one of the problems with that play, I think. You know, if somebody is African-American, they might see Jesus as being African-American, and that's how they relate to their religion. Somebody who's gay, and white people would think, oh, that's horrible, that's blasphemous. People who are gay see Jesus as being possibly gay, and that's a way to relate to Jesus, and it's not meant as an insult to anybody else. It's a way to make my religion relevant to me. And Terrence McNally is gay, and Terrence McNally mm-hmm. saw he wrote about how he sees his relationship with God.
Yeah. And I think the other side that opposes this, you know, thinks that they're so offended by this. But if you really think about how profound the whole concept of Christ is, it can't be more profound. And for someone to relate into something the most life changing experience, literally, that one can have if you're a Christian, it's a great place for someone to visualize, Christ maybe looking like them.
Mm-hmm. Now, though the film hasn't even been screened yet, a film selected for the 2010 Tribeca Film Festival called Ticked Off Trannies with Knives, I Want to See This So Bad, has some in the transgender community and glad seeing red. Interestingly enough, the film was written and directed by openly gay Dallas filmmaker Israel Luna. The film is being described as a comedy and a campy homage to the exploitation films in which a group of transgender women are violently beaten and left for dead. But then the violated vixens turn deadly divas. Many, including GLAAD, are calling for the film festival to remove the film from the lineup because it trivializes people dying for being who they are.
And Tribeca is calling GLAAD a bunch of liars because they worked with Israel on the film.
I think it's really important to talk here about, there's an actual, in the trailer, there's reference and footage about an actual hate crime against a real, now dead, transgender person.
Oh, and really?
I think that is the source of the controversy, regardless of the, I think, derogatory mm-hmm. epithet that's mm-hmm. in the title. But I think that's part of the problem, is that it tries to portray itself in the coverage of it as a docudrama, because it's mixing complete fantasy
right.
with reality.
Now,
that's wrong, I think. I think that's wrong.
We need to go to break.
We can talk about this a little bit more after the break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
Check out KNON's brand new website at www.knon.org. You can listen to KNON from anywhere in the world with our live internet broadcast stream. See the program schedule and info on all the DJs and formats. Find out about special events, upcoming benefits, and get advance tickets online. Go to KNON.org and support great community radio anytime by making a pledge of support to the voice of the people. The all-new KNON.org.
This Sunday, KNON presents a blues legend in a legendary venue. Ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday, March the 28th, is Bobby Rush at the Granada Theater. You've heard all of his number one hit songs right here on KNON, with Night Fishing, Sue, Chickenhead, and his latest hit song, Blind Snake. In a career spanning 5 decades, the Grammy-nominated Bobby Rush has won Living Blues Awards, Best Live Performer Award, Blues Music Award, Artist of the Year, and Soul Blues Male Artist of the Year, and more. Get your seats now on the web at KNON.org, Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, or Elaine's Kitchen on Martin Luther King Boulevard in South Dallas. For group sales, 469-471-4180. Also appearing will be Dallas' blues legend, Mr. Vernon Garrett and the Crossroads Blues Show Band, and Mr. James Butler and the Cool Show Band, performing this big hit, Why Did You Answer My Cell Phone? This is a KNON Blues Benefit. This is Greg Smith, and I'll be your host, Bobby Rush, this Sunday, March the 28th at the Granada Theater, 3524 Lower Greenville Avenue in Dallas. Doors open at 7, showtime at 8 p.m.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
It's time for
Those Darn Heterosexuals. Heterosexual Christian Dan Ross said, "It is the Christian commandment to love your enemies and to do good to them. I did that." Ross wired a dozen yellow roses to Major Nidale Hassan, the accused Fort Hood spree killer. The Texas florist who received the order notified the FBI.
NPR reported that fake flies are being put in urinals because research shows that men, we contend heterosexual men, are more likely to aim at the flies, which leaves the area around the urinal cleaner. Research shows this? Who did the research and just how was it done?
I want to know. Inquiring homosexuals want to know. Seattle police found a 25-year-old heterosexual impaled on a metal fence. What happened? He was escaping a barroom brawl when he got to the fence. He thought he was a ninja warrior and could leap over it. He couldn't. He's okay, though, but... That's this week's
Those Darn Heterosexuals. I just wanted to follow up on a comment about, you know, this controversy with the new Israel Luna films, mm-hmm. Ticked off trainees with knives. You know, Patty just enlightened me about, you know, something. I hadn't seen any of the trailers, but based on just what I've read, I was excited, and I kind of still am excited to see this movie because, you know, if it's done in homage to the blaxploitation films of the 70s. I love that stuff. It is so campy and hilarious. And they took it so serious. So if it's done in that vein, I at least hope it's really done well. So I do want to see it.
And I know Israel. I like Israel a lot. But I haven't seen the film. But the title bothers me. I mean, what if it were going to be, you know, basically F, you know, faggot. And I'll say that on the air to make my point.
Right.
Faggots with knives or whatever. I think that in itself is incredibly offensive.
You know what? We should get Israel on.
Yeah, we should.
I'll get on that.
Okay. what we're talking today, we're doing a topic show, and you know, what's considered coming out for celebrities? So we decided absolutely when Ellen was on the cover of Time or Newsweek, was it?
I think it was Time.
It was a Time, and it said, yep, I'm gay. You know, when Wanda Sykes held a press conference, certainly the press conference works.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another example. Dick Sargent, do you know how he came out?
No.
He brought his co-star Elizabeth Montgomery to the Gay Pride Parade in Los Angeles, and they were the Grand Marshals 1 year.
Oh, so, fantastic.
You know, you don't have to have the press conference.
No.
But that one certainly, you know, nothing says, hey, guess who I am, than being the Grand Marshal of the Gay Pride Parade.
And when Raymond Burr died, he had been 30 years with a partner. Remember, he was the perennial Perry Mason,
right,
and mm-hmm. Ironside, and all
nobody
that.
Knew he was gay, though. That one was really secret.
And his partner, who today still owns the vineyard, he produces wine. And when Raymond Burr was alive, they had a vineyard together, and raised orchids. I mean, world class prize orchids. But when he passed away, even though he had a what one would think would be an ironclad will, it was challenged by some like third cousin of Raymond Burr's, and his partner did eventually win, and he does indeed have the vineyard today, and you can go visit it and take tours and stuff. But it cost him an awful lot in legal fees to sustain. And he's a prime example. That whole case is a prime example of you can have the paperwork.
Oh, yeah,
it means
yeah.
nothing. Mm-hmm. They can still bankrupt you to defend it.
Mm-hmm. You know, anyway. Well, I kind of want to take this conversation a little bit different direction, again, from our community standpoint. Do you think – should we respect celebrities who do choose to stay in the closet? And when they do finally come out, should we give them crap about it? Because it took so long.
Like what happened with Rosie.
What happened with Rosie, what happened with Sean Hayes.
You know, Sean Hayes, I think, and this is what brought about this discussion, mm-hmm. I think, he is such an extreme example, and you know, a lot of them are in their own category.
Right, no two stories are exactly alike.
Sean Hayes in his own category because he was playing a gay person
okay.
on one of the most successful sitcoms for that period.
Top 10.
And he was popular. Most people thought, oh, Will and Grace, they're the boring two on it. The show should be called Karen and Jack. Everybody thought that. So here he is, not just on the most successful sitcom of the time, but also the most popular character, or second most maybe after Karen, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But did he have any reason not to come out? He's saying for other roles, what other roles is he going to? You know, if you're talking about stereotyping, I came up with a few others who never came out, but, you know, please. Charles Nelson Reilly. Very successful career, mostly as a director. He was a very accomplished director, and he did a number of other things, but, you know, please. He's going to play the straight guy? Not going to happen.
Oh, come on. He was on Match Game in Hollywood Squares, precisely because of his witty comebacks.
Sure. Another one, David Ogden Steers, who played Major Winchester, hasn't had a whole lot
he
of
came
other.
Out.
He's out. Oh, well, yeah, he has come out. But what I'm saying is his coming out has that, you know, did it make a difference one way or the other? No, because that's the kind of character he plays. What's his name? Niles on Frasier.
Yeah.
Wasn't out while Frasier was on, and everybody said Frasier.
David Hyde Pierce.
Thank you.
Everybody knew he was the most
flamboyant straight man.
Yeah, I mean, this was the gayest character on TV. And what was right. funny was what's his name? Dan Butler.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Dan
Bulldog.
Butler.
Dan Butler was the out person and played the straightest character right. on the show.
Really
and,
macho.
Yeah,
really macho.
And Niles was married, and then he gets married a second time, and
he had the hots for Jane Leaves, which right. I think yeah. all of us out here did too, except maybe you guys.
No, did not.
So you know, it's funny. The characters that people play that
but,
way.
But, you know, for me, I don't care what character you're playing. If you want to keep that private, that is your business, and I have to respect that. The only time I get upset when public people, whether they be a celebrity or a politician, is when you start bashing us, and then you're closeted, and then I have a problem with you. But Sean Hayes never has made any snide references to gays or lesbians in statements.
So, no, in fact, what he says is, "I did more for the
exactly."
gay movement
so
than
he, I,
most people
you know, I may not like him personally, and you know, or any of that, but I absolutely respect the fact that he did not want to come out. That is his business.
But let's go back to what you just mentioned, because that's the MO of a gay elected Republican, and that is to get in office, be gay in your real life, and then bash the heck out of us.
Exactly.
You know, and then when it comes to light, it's usually through some scandal.
There's some scandal.
There's absolutely. There's a airport bathroom stall involved, or there's right, you know, right. there's something out there.
Or some intern is complaining about you touching on them. Right.
And that's
you know,
not what you're talking about. Sean Hayes has never done any of that. Right. Right.
So I have to respect him.
Now, you know, in the Charles Nelson Reilly category, never came out. you know, never had the press conference, the grand marshal of the Pride Parade or anything like that. Paul Lynde is another example. Now, he was the center square on Hollywood.
Gosh, how many decades, yeah. It seems.
Okay, mm-hmm. So some of his lines. Now, does this constitute coming out? Question, you're the world's most popular fruit. What are you? Paul Lynde's answer, humble. Now, does that constitute his coming out? I mean, there was no question. What is the most abused and neglected part of the body? Paul Lynde's answer, well, mine may be abused, but it certainly isn't neglected. Now, you know, does that constitute coming out? He never said the words, never had the press conference, never, you know, but come on. You know, who didn't right. know?
When he was on Bewitched and he was...
Right.
Yeah, Uncle Arthur. I mean, yeah. You couldn't have had a more gay character than that, right? I mean, yeah. It was obvious who he was. And he always played that sort of character. On the Paul Lynde Show, he was that kind of character. Even though he was married and he was the conservative one on the show, he was so upset about his... I think it was his son-in-law who was... the liberal, you know, and that was the character. But that was the comedy of the show, too, that Paul Lynde is playing this character. You know, do you have to actually come out? What do you have to do to come out? I you know, I think, how many men on a hockey team? Paul Lynde's answer, about half. What does it take to come out? David Hyde Pierce, how did he come out?
I don't remember his exact...
He won a Tony Award, and he thanked his partner.
And he said...
He called him his partner.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that coming out? It's not the press conference.
Yeah, but he's been out ever since.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Yeah.
See, and that's why, you know, like, I go back again to Jodie Foster, you know? If you're a Jodie Foster watcher, and many in Hollywood are...
Yeah.
You know. CNN did a piece on it. CNN was the only major cable news network that featured this when it happened, because she received a you know, like the award from the Sherry Lansing thing. It's a big deal. It's a woman. It's women in film,
mm-hmm.
And so she received it a couple of years ago. And in her acceptance speech, you can go to YouTube and hear it. And she thanks my beloved, you know, my dear Sydney, you know, being with me through the rotten and the bliss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's doing all of that, and yet I took that as coming out, CNN took it as coming out, and yet it shut down. It immediately shut down.
And yes, she probably had a shutdown, you know.
Oh, I don't know that she would do that.
I guess part of my problem with, you know, referring to celebrities who are out and they haven't actually come out is because I'm trying to respect their wishes. And our, you know, every year out has the top 100, and it's like the most powerful 100 gays and lesbians in Hollywood. And some of the people on that list haven't even come out. So I'm like, why would you even? I don't think you should be put in that category if you're not brave enough to even admit that you're in that category.
Well, but I go back to Jodie Foster, and you were saying, you know, well they don't want to, they want to respect that she's maybe closeted, and they don't want to ruffle it. Mm-hmm. Here's what I picture happen. She says this, CNN reports it, and then everybody else says, I'm not going to be the one that says, well, that was her coming out, because they'll never get a confirmation from her.
Yeah.
That's the reality. But how many people in real life say, you know, my partner, they're not hiding who they are, but they don't sit down with all their coworkers and say, hi, I want to tell you I'm gay.
Well,
they just don't hide it. They just navigate life.
A perfect example of that is Lily Tomlin. Now, I met her a number of years ago. I had a travel agency on the first floor of an office building. She was on KLIF upstairs on the morning show. And we posted somebody by the elevator for when she came downstairs. And she came down with Jane and their dog. Jane took the dog outside to go pee. And Lily sat down with us. Everybody, we poured out of the office and sat down with her. Jane popped her head in. Lily, we're going to be late for our next appointment. Oh, I'm just talking to this nice group of people. And we just sat there like 20 minutes and just talked to her. It was obvious they were together. There was nothing about the way they acted or related to each other that didn't show that they were a couple. And but there was also nothing about the conversation that was, oh, so you're the gay travel agency here. It was none of that. But it was so obvious. It was a group of gay people talking to a gay person, and this was like 1990 or so. So, you know, she could be on that list easily because that's the way she related to people without, and she never did have that press conference till 2001.
Exactly. And how long have they been together?
Since 1971.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if she were married to a man, do you think it would have taken that long for people to let people know that she was married to a man?
No, of course not.
Exactly.
But she also wouldn't have held the press conference that she was getting married.
But you know what? There are millions of American gay people across this country who every day go through their lives just as Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner did. And it's the second when people say, I'm gay, or they try to be some sort of confirmation-wise, and that the rest of the public who do not like us says, you're flaunting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to think that there's a lot of people that are moving around in this world and in this country every day who are very, very open about their lives and very out, and all the people around them know it. And I don't think they have to say the words, I'm gay. You know, and yet our community sort of expects it so that we can say that person's gay. Because until we hear it, we hear those words, I'm gay. And I don't think anybody says I'm homosexual. We get permission then
and the best coming out of all time for a TV show. Eric Stone Street and Jesse Tyler Ferguson, they play Cam and Mitchell on the new comedy Modern Family. The show was going on the air. During the publicity, they said Eric Stone Street, who's the heavier, more flamboyant gay person, he's straight. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who's from right here.
Yeah.
They said he's gay. And that's the end of it. And they play this wonderful, this wonderful gay couple. And the funniest, when going back to music, the funniest two, or the funniest group that isn't gay, Village People. They're all straight.
They're all straight,
and always,
actually.
Let's continue this another week.
We will. We certainly will. We're going out with some music from?
Turn It Up. Thank you, Tracy Chapman. I forgot about Broad.
Baby, I got your number. To call me. Someone to hold me.